There's our 8 o'clock rooster pour. Welcome, Arizona, to Rosie on the House weekly Saturday morning radio broadcast, a 26-year Arizona Saturday morning tradition. Rosie on the House consists of Rosie Romero, your host and local construction expert, his wife, sweet Jennifer, who calls screens, part of the program, and the 7 o'clock hour that not all of our affiliates carry. She actually participates a lot more in the broadcast, and I, Romy, do the call screening. I am their second of six kids, and left today all by my lonesome because they are off gallivanting in Germany. And I guess gallivant's probably not fair. My oldest sister, Rachel, and I apologize, our no Phoenix Sedona affiliates that carry the 7 o'clock hour already heard this show, but we have a lot more of the state tuned in now, so we've got to get them caught up on what's going on this weekend on the broadcast. They are in Germany. My brother-in-law, Wayne, is stationed at Garmisch base. Well, it's part of his immersion program into the Russian consulate's embassy, where he'll be working in a few years. So mom and dad said, well, we've got to go see him while they are there. And they were going to be there a few years, but as things do, it changed, and they're going to be back in the States this summer. So when they found that out in November, they said, well, now or never, let's go. They booked their trip, and they are there now. They're going to do a little skiing. Dad's a big skier and wanted to take the Swiss Alps off his bucket list. They got a little snow this week, so hopefully they have some nice fresh powder to ski on. They've sent some pictures. Have you ever been? You've been out of the country.
Tell me. I've been.
Your family's from Syria.
Well, my father's from Syria. Yes, yeah, a little Christian village on the coast there. So, Syria, Lebanon, Turkey. It's a beautiful region, especially right along the coast there. You just see everything growing wild and freshwater springs everywhere.
I've never, the farthest out of the country I've been is to Rocky Point for a weekend adventure with some buddies right out of high school. But I've heard everyone that has ever been to Europe and abroad say that that's a pretty magical place. And Dad says, you know, you can't believe it's like living in a fantasy world. What you imagine is the picture perfect, the green mountains, the valley below, little huts, people homesteading and just living in these little mountain communities. And say it's incredible. So I'm glad they're there and having a good time. What brought your father over from Syria?
From Syria. He came over here to study. It was funny. He first came over and went to Cornell and came in the fall, and after the first snow, he went to the dean of agriculture there, and he said, get me out of this.
What's this white stuff?
What's this white stuff? He said, I've seen it once in my life, and
that's enough,
and so he got transferred over here to the U of A and did his time here and stayed here and started up Discount Nurseries way back in, well, bought it from the original owner back in the late 60s, and so I kind of grew up in this business around here.
And then when did y'all change over to the Magic Garden?
It was my mother picked it up. That was November of 96, right around Thanksgiving.
And the current location?
22nd and Pantano, 7909 East 22nd Street.
And we've got, this is Tony Sarah, our garden host for this hour, local Tucson Horty guy. As you just heard, grew up in the business. What time does the nursery open today?
8 to 5:30.
So it's open now.
It's open now. You can come
you hope,
by.
Right? I mean, you're not there.
I'm not there. I hope it's open now. You can especially come by and find us this afternoon. Anytime after 3 o'clock, we'll be standing around twiddling our thumbs because everybody's going to be at home watching the Wildcats on TV.
We were talking about that yesterday with the other vendors because at setup, On Thursday, you could tell when the U of A game had started. Everyone's, I mean, scattered like rats leaving the ship. I mean, just whew, gone.
There's nothing. There, the place will be empty. I mean, we'll have a few people, a few ladies coming in for their flowers, but the rest of us will be standing around twiddling their thumbs. I'll get a phone call from my son, George. He'll be saying, hey, Daddy, the Wildcats are winning. The Wildcats
Excellent.
Are winning.
Yeah, a rematch against last year's Badgers, who knocked him out in this round from what I've learned. I don't follow basketball much. I don't follow a lot of sports. many sports. Pretty much just junior rodeo right now because that's what my kids are in. And as you know, when you have kids, whatever they're into, you're into. So he's into basketball.
My son got into basketball. He started watching the tournament. Actually, started with my wife, Lucy. She got him going on the international soccer last year when they had the FIFA World Championship down in Brazil. And so he got into that, and then he started watching a few of the basketball games, and the Wildcats weren't on. He actually fell in love with Oklahoma and was sad when they lost last night. But
They lost?
They lost by two. So.
Uh-oh. I saw them going back and forth with Michigan while I was at the business conference center last night at the hotel room. There was a pretty good congregation of people watching the game, and I could see it switching back and forth. So the Spartans, is that Michigan State?
I think so.
Pulled it off, beat the Sooners?
Yes, I usually don't get to follow it much either because I'm always at work. So mm-hmm. I just read about it in the paper the next day. And
well, 3 o'clock today in Los Angeles, U of A Wildcats take on the Wisconsin Badgers. And I'm sure that the announcers are prepping in a rematch of last year's devastating overtime one-point loss.
Oh, yes.
U of A will be looking for a vengeance, and don't think that that's not on their mind, George.
That's right. George already said that. He said, Daddy, if we lost to them last year, then we know all their moves this year, and we'll beat them this time.
Good for him. Well, let's switch to landscape and gardening. Anything in, out, and around your house, home, castle, or cabin that you stick in the ground and grow, we've got Tony Serra, local Horty guy, and we'll actually be joined at the final segment of these 8 o'clock hour with Vicente Landscaping, Mr. Chris Wellborn, talking about the beautiful colors that are blooming in the high country elevation of Arizona. You join the broadcast and you ask your question by calling 1-888-767-4348. Where our Stephanie Acuna, our regular fill-in when Mom is gone, we'll take your information and get you on the air with Mike Reese pushing all the right buttons behind the board. Again, that's 1-888-767-4348, starting first with Sandy. Welcome to the broadcast. What's your question for Tony?
Yeah, good morning. This is going to be a little bit complicated, but I'm going to start from the top because I'm getting all kinds of missed signals on what's going on with our sister's trees.
We don't want any hard questions, Sandy. Yes. I'm
well,
sorry.
Well, it's not going to be hard. Yeah, well, I don't know if it's hard. There's something strange going on. We planted these trees in 2006 when we bought our house. We had them planted, and we have put in 5 assorted citrus trees, and they've done absolutely beautifully. Just, I mean, produced. We had one lime tree that they were like grapes on there. And even 1 year, they produced twice in 1 year. It's really been something. Well, anyway, about a year ago, we noticed there was a black spot on our red grapefruit tree. So I got a hold of the nursery, and they said, take a picture of it and bring it in. And they said we had some kind of a disease, and if we painted it, we might be able to save it, et cetera, et cetera. Well, last summer, it bit the dust, and so I got a hold of the nursery. In the meantime, the lime tree stopped producing at all. Wasn't blooming, wasn't producing anything, and that went on for 2 seasons. And I contacted them about that, and they said, well, you probably need to plant another lime to stimulate this lime to get it going. I said, fine, okay. So last fall, when we got back, we had a new lime tree put in, and we had a new grapefruit tree put in. Okay, now, this year, the new lime tree has bloomed and has fruit on it. None of the rest of the trees have anything on it. The new grapefruit tree doesn't. Our navel orange, which was just loaded with fruit this year, has absolutely no blooms on it. The lime tree has no blooms on it. The lemon tree has no blooms on it. And the lemon tree is probably, oh, shoot, I'm not real good at this, maybe 12 feet high, and it's just dripping right now with lemons, but not one bloom. And our tangelo has no blooms on it. We can't figure out what's going on.
Well, let me ask you this. How often do you fertilize?
We fertilized the 3, what is it, Labor Day?
Memorial Day.
Memorial Day and Valentine's Day.
She's got the right dates.
Yep, she's got the dates down.
And then it's on a drip system. Nothing has changed as far as that's concerned. It's on a drip system.
How many drip emitters on each tree?
I don't have any idea. And then my husband heavy waters it on Sunday, where he gives it a good, gives all the trees a good soaking. But he's used this same system since 2006.
Well, the thing is, he's used the same system since 2006, but your trees have grown much bigger. Give you an example now. My trees have about 15 2-gallon-an-hour drip emitters on each tree on the citrus trees.
Say that one more time.
They have 2 gallon an hour flow rate each drip emitter is.
And how many emitters per tree?
And I've got 15 emitters scattered throughout underneath the canopy of the tree. And that system will run for about 10 hours once a week in the system. There was actually, I got to go back and see if I can find it, University of Arizona was a printout that I had seen from them. And a mature grapefruit tree will use 300 to 400 gallons of water per week in the summertime. So you want to make certain, it sounds to me like you're still watering them like they were newly planted trees, and you just really need to up the water. The risk of sounding bad, I don't know who told you you needed a second lime tree to stimulate the first, but citrus, you just need one tree. You don't need...
They're self-pollinators.
They're self-fruitful. Adding a second tree isn't going to do a thing for it. The reason your new lime tree is flowering is because it's getting watered just like a new kid, which is what it is. It's enough to satisfy it. But the other trees need much more water. If you want to lay the hose out there, which you will need to do when you fertilize, it took me about 6 hours to water each tree after I put the fertilizer around.
And you're not leaving the hose on full blast.
No,
it's just a nice little stream.
If I had a 10-foot basin underneath each tree, 10 feet in diameter, it's taken me 6 hours to fill that basin up. And that's what you want, is a good, long, slow, deep. That's a heavy watering. And so it sounds to me like what's most critical is you just need to up the water. Now, here's one other thing you can try, and this only applies to your lime and lemons. They have the potential to produce up to 3 times a year, not just twice a year, but up to 3 times a year. So if you just get extra phosphorus, like bone meal, triple superphosphate, a high phosphorus bat guano, and 2 or 3 times a year give it extra only to the limes and lemons, that can help promote more blooms and get you more fruit. You can even try that now. At this point, it's warming up, yes, but you might be able to stimulate a few late flowers and possibly get a small crop out of your trees yet this year.